Welcome to another show of Jason's Connection. I'm Jason, and I'm here with Rashid Oeli, and we're here to talk about design impact. What is design in the context that you use it?
Yeah, you know, when people think of design, they typically think of visual aesthetics and material, mm-hmm. kind of the art implications of design. And design impact, specifically in the program that I run called Studio mm-hmm. C, we actually think about design in a different way. Mm-hmm. We think of design as moving from how things are mm-hmm. to how they ought to be, which actually brings some interesting questions to the forefront when you think of design in this way. Mm-hmm. The ought part of mm-hmm. design in that kind of framing makes us question who gets to decide what ought to be or how the world ought to be.
Mm-hmm. And what is design theory?
Design theory or design thinking?
Design thinking, sorry.
Yeah, so Studio C uses design thinking. Mm-hmm. It's a process for creative problem solving. Mm-hmm. So design thinking was developed by a well-known design firm called IDEO, mm-hmm. And they postulated that design could work in a business setting much in the way that it had in the past mm-hmm. to kind of introduce new outcomes for mm-hmm. businesses. Mm-hmm. And I think the underlying principle there is using empathy, introducing empathy to the decisions that we make around business decisions. Mm-hmm. And then we're introducing that to nonprofits and social service institutions so that they can start to think about how do they empathize with their client and customer in new ways to think about designing new services and programs that meet their end goals.
Now, how does that typically work in the business world and now in the nonprofit world that you bring it in?
Oh, that's an interesting question.
Yeah.
So from my understanding mm-hmm. of how it's been applied in the business setting is primarily through consulting services. Mm-hmm. So it looks typically like large corporations hiring design firms to come in and think new, think differently for their programs and the services, products that they offer. And in the nonprofit setting, we're kind of trying to do the same thing.
Yeah.
But we believe, particularly at Design Impact, mm-hmm. that organizations have the capacities to do design thinking, mm-hmm. to think creatively, to solve problems, to engage their clients in new and interesting ways. So that's really our focus, is about equipping other organizations with the capacity to do that work themselves, as opposed to making those organizations dependent on us to provide those services.
Wow. And what are some of the projects you've working on with or have worked on with Design Impact?
Yeah, so the major program that I run is called mm-hmm. Studio C. We ran mm-hmm. the first year in 2014. Mm-hmm. We had 8 project groups representing a diverse group of nonprofits from the greater Cincinnati area. And one of those projects that might be of particular interest to you as we're talking here today was with Starfire Council. Are you familiar with Starfire Council?
Yes, but can you explain what it is for people who may not have heard it before?
Yeah, so Starfire Council is a nonprofit that does advocacy work with people mm-hmm. with varying abilities. Mm-hmm. So they are kind of a leader in this space mm-hmm. of rethinking how organizations that do that type of work can engage and how they think of people. Mm-hmm. The typical model that they point out for working with people with different abilities mm-hmm. is to separate them from their community and introduce professionals that have degrees in specific kinds of areas to work with them. Mm-hmm. And what they noticed was that by doing that, they further alienated people and didn't recognize their strengths and capabilities. Mm-hmm. Instead, there was a heavy focus on the disability, right? Mm-hmm. So their work is really looking at how do we start to reframe and reposition the kind of culture around service provision with families who are experiencing these kinds of issues and working with the disability system at the state level.
Mm-hmm. And what are sort of the process that you go through working with the design team or something to go from sort of ideas to sort of a more finished product? Like how does that work, the process that you all use?
Oh, that's a really interesting question. Mm-hmm. So kind of the way that we think about this is that it's not really a linear process.
Okay.
So there's a need to be agile mm-hmm. and to be able to start over. And there's kind of also an underlying thread there of revaluing failure and saying that it's okay to make mistakes as long as you're learning from them, right?
Yeah.
So the first thing that we encourage our groups to do is kind of a self-analysis, actually. Mm-hmm. So reflecting on what is my role in this space that I'm working and what kind of impacts will I have in that space before I start taking action.
Yeah.
It's really important for organizations to reflect on, you know, what is the context that they're in and mm-hmm. what is their strengths and weaknesses and areas in which they can improve and how can they really incorporate their community mm-hmm. in the work that they do. So that's where we start.
Mm-hmm.
After that, we look at problem definition. So how do we align around that space? How do we align with our strengths and varying weaknesses in order to create an opportunity space where we can then intervene? And then we ask them to think about action. So this is when they start to ideate or start to propose solutions for the problem space that they are working in.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, we ask them to prototype and ultimately test their ideas before ever putting them out into the world.
Mm-hmm.
So this is kind of, if you might think of it as like a science experiment.
Mm-hmm.
So we create a controlled environment for us to ask really important, sometimes difficult questions,
mm-hmm.
And even sometimes like silly questions, questions mm-hmm. that we think might be obvious. Because oftentimes in our minds, we build up an assumption. We believe mm-hmm. that the things that we've experienced on our own are true across the board, are true mm-hmm. globally.
Mm-hmm.
And what we've recognized is oftentimes if people step back and question the assumptions that they make, that they can find new opportunity spaces to work in.
Wow. And it sounds like it's really, instead of what you sort of said, the business model where the consultants come in and then sort of go off and do their own ideas, it's very much a collaborative with the people you're working with.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's about valuing different perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think we kind of live in a paradigm or world in which we think that professionals are the only people who opinions matter.
Mm-hmm.
But what we can recognize is that every human's experience matters.
Mm-hmm.
So if we start from that place first and say everybody who's involved in this scenario has a valuable perspective on this situation
mm-hmm.
and bring them to the table and join them in conversation, we can move the needle much further in that how
yeah.
the world ought to be kind of direction.
Mm-hmm. Well, it reminds me of something that your colleague Ramsey said. Successful community change needs to be owned by the community, and that is our goal. And in some ways, it's also giving them not just the tools to empower, but empowering them to be able to make their own tools.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So I think when Design Impact started,
mm-hmm.
There was kind of a recognition that the typical design work, particularly mm-hmm. Work that happens in the developing world,
yeah.
if you'll allow me to say that,
yeah.
Looks a lot like designers coming in,
mm-hmm.
parachuting in,
mm-hmm.
saying, here's the solution to your problems,
yeah.
and then leaving.
Mm-hmm.
And what we recognized was that in its own way created other problems that didn't exist in those contexts.
Mm-hmm.
And by becoming more embedded, more engaged in that community, and exchanging skills, exchanging knowledge, that we could move the needle again in the correct direction
mm-hmm.
without all of those assumptions that we bring in when we're in a space that's not our own.
Yes, yes. And how can people who don't normally think about design thinking, or even designers who are trying to think about it, how can they do that, think about it for nonprofits?
Okay, yeah, so I think that's a difficult question to answer.
No.
I think that everyone brings their own perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And something that I think we forget is that we are all engaged in making the world what it is every day.
Mm-hmm.
When we wake up in the morning, we make decisions about what is the most appropriate thing to wear for the day.
Yeah.
And if you get up and it's 80 degrees outside and you mm-hmm. put on a sweater, you're kind of designing what your day is going to be like. It's going to be a hot day, right?
Yeah.
So it's really about kind of unsurfacing that we are all participating in designing our daily experiences, and the interactions that we have create the experience that are around services. So in a nonprofit setting, that's understanding that creating a power distance between
mm-hmm.
service providers and service recipients
mm-hmm.
is already instigating what that experience is going to be like for both parties.
Yeah.
So if we start to, again, step back and reflect on that and start working from that space, understanding that on both sides of the service delivery, there's opportunities for us to make it easier, better, more fulfilling for both sides, that's really the opportunity space that we're trying to work in.
Mm-hmm. I know you talked about before having to break down old sort of stereotypes or ways of doing things and building up new ones and why that's important. Can you describe that and sort of how you worked with that with different communities?
Yeah, so that's really challenging. Yeah. I think that's part of why we say, you know, the first step in the process is kind of a self-reflection step. Because what can happen is, again, that we'll have different views on what the current situation is. And by, again, slowing down and asking folks to reflect on that and then share those things out, we start to develop new understandings together. We're co-creating the world. And I think that that, again, for me, is part of that creative process that people don't necessarily talk about. I think when we spoke previously, I told you that people think about creativity as just making these wonderful things, but there isn't much reflection on what we're destroying in creating something new. And with materials, that's, you know, we're turning trees into furniture. And in our space, oftentimes that means we're turning people's assumptions into revelations. So how do we reveal a new understanding to communities of difference?
Well, is there anything else you'd like to add, or is there...
You know, Studio C was just in its first year in 2014. But we're going to be launching a redesigned, revamped version of Studio C for 2015. We're hoping to go live in early May. So we're going to be having some information sessions in April leading up to the launch of this new format that we're introducing. So if people wanted to go to www.studiocincinnati.org, our website will have updated information in the coming weeks so people can find out how to get engaged in design thinking and social innovation in the Cincinnati region to talk about some of the things that we just talked about.
Can you talk about the difference between diversity and inclusion?
Yeah. You know, I think of diversity as kind of being quantitative. So diversity often for organizations looks like pie charts of how many people we have of this race. And I think that that is kind of an antiquated idea. We're starting to recognize that because we have diverse looking people doesn't mean that the systems and structures within our organizations are really conducive to people's success. So for me, inclusion is different from diversity because it requires a systemic kind of analysis of how people are being incorporated into a system. Not just that they're there, but are they there and are they thriving? So there's a question about the quality of their presence in a space or in an organization. So like with universities, saying that we have this number of students doesn't necessarily mean that we have this number of students doing well. So if we're gonna talk about evaluating organizations' success in that space, we need to not just look at how many people are there, but how are those people doing? What is the quality of their life? What is the quality of their work and their experience? For me, that's the major difference between diversity and inclusion. Inclusion is really much more about changing the system, changing an organization so that people are incorporated in a way that is healthy and conducive to their success and well-being.
Well, see, the question is, how do you sort of get people to sort of switch the paradigm of thinking? Because a lot of times people want to see these really quick antidotes, like, oh, just how many people we have, or this is the quick fix. How do you sort of make it so people sort of stop and think?
Yeah, just show me the research, right?
Yeah.
I want to read the article.
Yeah.
I think the powerful thing about design thinking in the social innovation space, to respond to that question, is it's about sharing people's experience. It's about sharing our human experience. So we teach people storytelling as a tool and method for design thinking and social innovation. So it's much more difficult for me to say, oh, we're doing enough.
Yeah.
when I hear someone's story and they can, I can relate to them and I can imagine myself going through something similar. Again, back to this idea of empathy.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if I just see a pie chart, then I can say, oh, yep, we're doing good enough. Like this is, we're meeting our quota.
Mm-hmm.
But when there's, again, a story, a human face, a human's experience connected to the kind of outcomes that you're seeking, you can then start to identify where there might be pain points or need for us to change the trajectory that we're on.
Awesome. So what other projects are you all working on?
So one of the projects that we're working on currently is with CABVI, the Cincinnati Association for Blind and Visually Impaired. We're working with the University of Cincinnati to explore how we might design using design thinking, again, kind of with this underlying understanding of empathy, of how we might design some assistive aids with them. So that's a project that we're going to be looking at in the future. We're currently in the process of developing the working plan for that.
Mm-hmm. And you studied social justice and service design. Can you tell how this sort of applies to all this that's going on?
Yeah, so I did my graduate studies at the New School, Parsons the New School for Design in New York City, where I got an MFA in transdisciplinary design. And I kind of got to customize my own studies.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the work that I did was, like you said, at the intersection of social justice and service design.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, Jason's connection looks a little bit like one of those kind of projects at the intersection of social justice and service design, where you've recognized an opportunity space to talk about, again, inclusion. And how to kind of reframe the power dynamics between service providers and service, I guess, consumers or users is the kind of language we might use. And I think that what's really innovative about the work that you're doing is that you're creating a platform for people to have a voice in those spaces. Again, it's about finding those kind of pinhole areas that we can start to pick away at and open up larger discussions of, again, inclusion instead of diversity. And starting to focus again on people's strengths and their human and lived experiences and how that can inform and shape the way that we deliver services, offer them, and promote them across communities.
Mm-hmm. And they can go to your website. Your website's Design Impact?
There's actually two websites.
Really?
So Design Impact has its own website, so that's www.d-impact.org. And then the program that I run, Studio C, is at www.studiocincinnati.org.
And that's going to be coming up in April, the first preliminary meetings, and then it's going to go, and it's going to start the sessions in May?
Yeah, that's correct. So we're going to go live in May, so there will be some happenings that we'll kind of implement before then,
So definitely go to their website and check it out. Thank you so much for coming today.
Oh, it's really my pleasure. Thank you.
I'm Rashid Oyeli with Design Impact, and I can be reached at Rashid, R-A-S-H-I-D, at d-impact.org. You can also check out the program that I run, Studio C, at www.studiocincinnati.org. We're funded by United Way of Greater Cincinnati, and we want to thank them for all of their support.
Hi, I'm Jason Harris for Jason's Connection. Thank you for watching, and don't forget to join us and join more conversations at jasonsconnection.org.